Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 21st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 69, the third paragraph. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, and the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Laura R., the 12 Traditions, Miriam Rifka H., and the readers of the text are Dion R., Robin P., and Eileen M. And the share ID for Wednesday, November 20th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,694. That's 13694. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, November 21st, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,700. That's 13700. Our newcomer greeter will be Mary H., so if you're a newcomer, stay on the line when we stop the recording. And announcements is Janice P.M. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, Mo, and I pass.
Yeah, thank you, Laura R. And the 12 traditions, Miriam Rifka H.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Miriam Rifka H. in New Jersey. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OAS schedule ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam Rivka H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again, and that's the star 1 button on there, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 69, the third paragraph down, whatever our ideal turns out to be, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Dion R. to get us started. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Mo. Hi, and good morning, all. This is Dion R., a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm very grateful. Whatever our idea turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in doing so. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God, what should we do about each specific matter? The right answer will come if we want it. And I do. Hi, this is a paragraph, and I'm looking at how I color code. I got my original big book I had when my sponsor suggested I buy it 7 years ago, the big book, where I highlighted and color coded and different things. And just looking back at this, the whole page and the top part of 69 have a lot of warnings, pink, and then in the middle, instructions. But this particular last full paragraph on the bottom of 69, the last full paragraph is, to me, it has it all. It's giving me instructions, warnings, a prayer in there, and, of course, a promise. So all those help me to realize that I'm not hopeless and there is hope. And I can pray for anything to my higher power. I can ask him for anything today. And my higher power, yes, I call him a him. It just helps me. Anybody as a newcomer, you can call your higher power, whoever you choose to. And that's the same way they're saying about the sex. It's just whatever your ideal turned out to be. And grow toward it. And for the part of making amends, I had to do that, even with my late husband who passed. To be able to make amends is to no longer carry that behavior in the future, in a future relationship, if I so have one, God provide. But and then I also said, provided we do not bring still more harm. I've done that in the past with late boyfriends, and it caused harm. And it wasn't under my sponsor's advisement. So I highly suggest don't do that. And then whatever it is, they said we treat sex as we would resentment or fears or any other on our inventory. And I remember, and I still do ask God, what should I do about each specific matter, any urges, anything? I throw myself in the heart and work in others, and this stuff really does work. Next thing you know, it's like, what, me, this long? And I'm grateful because the right answers will come at the last part. That's a promise. The right answer will come if I want it, you know. And I came here to lose weight. That's it, not to learn about sex or how to keep, you know, my fears and resentments in check. But, yes, because not only the way God is taking care of that, through a person in vision told me years ago how you do the steps, you keep the food down, work the steps, and let God take care of the, your body. And but my concentration is no longer, it stopped being more on my weight and more on my life and how can I give, believe it or not, and receive, you know. Because in giving, not to receive, but just giving unconditional love, I get unconditional love, you know.
Time.
And I want to end with this on this spiritual awakening, something someone probably said many times through, since this workshop, last workshop I went to. It's what Mr. Herb Cad said, you know. A spiritual experience is like turning on a light switch, on, off, on. I love that. And a spiritual awakening is like a dimmer. You know, it slowly come on. And that's, you even get a spiritual awakening about sex, too. And with that, I'll pass, guys, and thanks for allowing me to share.
Well, thank you, Dion R., for getting us started. I'll now remind everybody we're on page 69, the third paragraph, whatever our ideal turns out to be. And I have the lines open for those who'd like to share.
Freya H.
Sherry KB.
Sherry, who was that? Steve?
On M.
Bruce E.
Oh, Bruce. Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
Who
Kathleen
was after
O.
On M.
On M. And Kathleen. I got you, Kathleen.
Irene.
Okay. We'll stop there. And Kathleen. I'm trying to write as fast as I talk. Okay. Freya H. Sherry KB. Bruce E. On M. Kathleen O, and is this Irene? Irene, I don't know your last initial, but I'll catch it when we get on. Okay, Freya H. Good morning, Freya. You're first, followed by Bruce E. Followed by Sherry KB. Sorry.
Good morning. Mo, did I get unmuted? It's Freya.
You're unmuted, yes. I can hear you.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. My name is Freya H. Really grateful compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado, and I just wanted to open my mouth because this whole section is so powerful, but this paragraph in particularly speaks to me. And I did not do this part of the inventory for a lot of years in OA, just because that wasn't, you know, I didn't use the big book, and so that wasn't part of it. So when I got to this, it was kind of like, whoa, you know, and when I worked with a sponsor who had me follow the directions in this book, and what she told me was, you know, to look at this, since I came into program pretty young, to do this inventory with any romantic relationship, you know, any relationship where there's physical attraction involved. And so, you know, I looked at all of my, you know, all of my relationships. And in the past, I had not been able to put my finger on any particular harm done. And so I just kind of assumed, oh, well, you know, I was a teenager, so, you know, I guess there wasn't any real harm. It's just what everybody does when they're a teenager. And so when I did this using the big book, I was able to identify, and she helped me identify, you know, the harm that was done, which was, you know, just my selfishness. It wasn't, you know, infidelity or anything really, really glaringly, obviously harmful, but she helped me to see that there's more, you know, harm is more subtle, and that, and she also kind of held my feet to the fire in terms of like, you, yes, you do owe an amends, you know, like, and face to face. So I got to go back and make amends to these, you know, high school and college boyfriends who I hadn't talked to for, you know, close to 20 years. And it was, you know, the last thing I wanted to do, and it was the most powerful. So I'm sorry, I don't mean to be getting into step nine, but my point is that this, you know, the directions in here was so incredibly powerful. And those, you know, when I did end up making those amends, it's like, oh my gosh. So like it was just, you know, that electric experience that you hear people talk about. Like, well, when I did my step two fell into place in a brand new way. So the last thing I'll say is I love the line that says, in other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. And I just love how that simplifies the whole thing. They're like, oh, right, this isn't some, you know, big, tragic ordeal that I have to figure out and give special treatment to. It's like, I just get to follow these directions, just take it to God and be open to whatever God, you know, however God would direct me. And that just allows me to, like, breathe a sigh of relief, like, all right, it's not up to me. I just got to be willing to go through with, you know, just be willing to do whatever my higher power would direct me. So thank you for the opportunity to share, and I will pass.
Thank you, Freya H. Bruce E. Oh, no, Sherry KB, followed by Bruce E. Sorry about that, Sherry.
Well, good morning there, Mo. This is Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and Team Thursday. I'm just going to jump right in here, and everybody on the line, welcome newcomers. I love this. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, it's, you know, before when I used to read this book and not take it seriously or be really do the step work, I used to think what my ideal would be of you, not of me, not what, you know, and this is specific directions. It's like I'm working a fourth step here. I'm turning my will and my life over to the care of God. So I want to know what God's ideal of me ought to be, and that I'm willing to grow toward it, that I must be willing to make an amends and look at any harm I've caused anybody, and, you know, and not to bring about more harm. I mean, I remember when I made an amends to my husband, I think he was waiting for me to say, and by the way, you did this, 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 and that, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'll just never forget that because, you know, I felt carried with my higher power when I made an amends to my husband, and I don't dredge up the past. I don't bring up what things that have happened years ago. When he starts bringing it up, you know, I tell him, you know, let's move on. You know, that was in the past. Let's move on. And you know what? The old Siri would have gotten down and just analyzed the whatever out of it. And that's how much I've changed, and I continue to change and grow. And, you know, it is important to look at when I do stuff, is it going to harm somebody else? And this is about, you know, my sex relationships. It's not only just about my sex, my intimacy, but my in other relationships to others. And I love the fact that there's a prayer here that's telling me that in meditation we ask, which is also pray, that I should go about each specific matter, and that if I pray with my higher power, and I will get the next right thought, the next right action, and what I need to do. And that's a promise. So not only do we have a prayer here, we have a promise here. And, you know, with the must, I always heard pay attention to the word must. So I have to be willing to grow toward it, and I must be willing to make amends when I've done harm. Because, you know, that if I don't do that, I'll be face down in the food. I have to look at all the stuff that goes throughout the day with me where, you know, I need to do an inventory. And that keeps me, it keeps the food down. It keeps me unblocked from my higher power. And this is a new way of living. This is set aside my old ideas, and this is the new idea of how to live in the future. And I just love that it says that I will get the right answer on every specific matter. And that speaks volumes to me. And we're going to hear about another prayer and direction in the next page or so. And there's actually three ideals in relationships. And I love this. And with that, I pass. Hi. Thanks.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Sherry KB. Now you are Bruce E., followed by, I believe it's Eileen M. Bruce E.
Well, hello, and hello, Mo.
Hello,
it's Bruce E. Yes, you were always on my mind. You are always on my mind. You gave me a hug at the salad bar at the Marriott Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. I'll never forget that. So thank you. You got sweet arms, kid. So anyway, Brucey, recovering in Florida, whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to work toward it. Well, how does this ideal thing come up? What's our ideal here? Well, how do I get an ideal? Well, it tells us in a previous paragraph, we ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. So we ask that in that paragraph, and that's our new ideals. And I'm praying that prayer and need prayer more, you know, and be willing to grow toward it. So God will give me the ideal if I ask him for it. And that's the first prayer, that one about ideals. And then the second prayer is here in this one, the sixth prayer. In this one, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. And then it talks about earlier here in this paragraph, we must be willing to make amends where we have done wrong, provided we do not bring about still more harm in so doing. So, excuse me, I have a tendency to do premature disclosures. So when I first met my wife, we've been married 35 years now, a great marriage, and I gave her premature disclosure. I told her about my sex life before we got married. And she came back and told me later, like 20 years later, she says, you know, that stuff you told me, she said, I wish you'd never told me that stuff. So see, I did a premature disclosure. So the way I understand, the way I do amends, the way probably a lot of people do amends nowadays, is you run it by your sponsor first and see, you know, do I need to do an amends? And if I do, then how should I do it? And write it out and read it to my sponsor. And that's what I do. So I went back to my high school reunion, 50-year high school reunion a few years ago. And I kept thinking, I need to do an amends for somebody. I need to do an amends, need to do an amends. And it was over this issue. And he said, well, yeah, if you're thinking you need to do an amends, you probably do. And I talked to him about it, read it to him, you know, read it to him. And when I got there, Rockford, Illinois, I did the amends, and it went over very well. And the person remembered it, you know, it had been 50 years previous, and they remembered it. So in other words, as it says, goes on to say here, in other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. So, yeah, so whatever it is, you know, I mean, if it's a problem, any problem, we treat it the same way. How do we do that? Well, we pray about it. We talk to somebody about it, and we see if we need to make an amends. It's a pretty simple and easy program. Yeah, okay, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce. Eileen M., followed by Kathleen O.
Hi, Mo. It's on here. On M. Marlon.
It was on M. All right.
Yes.
I thought it was.
No.
Sorry about that.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for your service, and thanks, Team Thursday. Very grateful to be on the line. I saw your name on something at the convention, and I was like, I know that person. So lovely. Yeah. So even though I didn't meet you in person, I think it was around the hospitality room there. Grateful to be around and grateful to have vision, and yeah, really, really grateful to have the opportunity to share. I love this paragraph. You know, it's about really for me, this is a design for living that really works without, you know, the threats and all that we get from other, that I give to myself and that I get from other places. And again, it's a set of instructions, and there's warnings, and there's a prayer. And for me, you know, it's a gentle, positive way that this program works, and I need to, you know, not dodge the bullets as well. The part where it says, you know, still more harm. And that's, like we shared about, we run things by our sponsor, and I can take that as, you know, getting off the hook. But for me, it has to be to face up to what I need to face up to. And it's about growing up for me, really. I came from a home that, you know, sex was never mentioned, love was never there, and I don't have a healthy relationship with love and sex because of that, I suppose. But, you know, no disrespect to my family or my parents, they did the best they could. And just being willing and to grow and to grow towards, you know, all of this and the ideals. Change and growth are the big ones there for me. Without condemning myself, but, you know, not to let myself off the hook either. And that's why I need a sponsor who will point these things out to me. And I love the part, you know, we rely totally on our higher power. You know, we're not therapists and we're not experts. We go to our higher power, and that's definitely been a huge a huge part of my recovery and surrender. And I think, you know, putting all of my faith and trust in my higher power and getting the answer, you know, once I seek the answer, I will get the answer. And that's where I think I get, you know, a lot of hope and vision that, you know, this does work if I work it. And somebody shared about, you know, coming in for the vanity and staying for the sanity. Came in to lose weight and came, you know, and realized it wasn't about weight at all and size. It was more about living a spiritual program, a spiritual life, and having a relationship with a higher power rather than and a connection rather than, you know, a domination or a, you know, a fearful higher power that's going to condemn me. And I'm very, very grateful. And with that, I pass. And thanks for the opportunity to share. And thanks for calling me. Thanks, Mo. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Ann M. And I'll have Kathleen O. And I believe it'll be Eileen M. after Kathleen. I believe that's right. All right. Kathleen, you're on.
Good morning, Mo. It's so nice to put a face to your voice.
Likewise.
It was a great convention.
Yeah.
So when I got to this part, you know, it is interesting what people are saying. It's like we come in to lose weight. Whoever thought we'd end up here, right? Talking about sex and sex ideals. And this is kind of like all the great things that come along with 12-step recovery. And, yeah, we lose the weight, but we get to just really clean up our lives and be better people. And that is really the best part of all this. But when I was, you know, my sponsor, when I got to this part, told me to write out who the perfect person for me would be. What qualities would I want? What, you know, and I just made out this little Santa Claus list. It's like, oh, this is fun. And I had just a whole page full of stuff. And then I read it to her after I was done. And she said, okay, that's what you need to be. And I thought, oh, really? And how many of those things was I? Well, I wasn't that many. So, The line in here, we must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in so doing. That was one of the hardest parts for me. I had to I had to make amends to my husband's ex-wife because I had done harm, and I didn't want to do it. I didn't think I could do it, And the part about, you know, in meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. So in meditation, I would say, okay, you know, I mean, I got really clear. I needed to be willing to make this amend. And I just said, okay, just direct me. And it took a while, but I mean, it was probably a few months later at least. And I ended up, I just put her right in front of me with nobody else there. And I thought, okay, this is God telling me what to do. I mean, it's really amazing, but I call it the miracles of the program. It's amazing what happens when we're willing. And so, you know, for the perfect ideal, I mean, it's like I realized in working and doing all of this work that, you know, if I don't want to be criticized by my husband, I need to be really careful I'm not criticizing him. And if I don't want to be told what to do because I don't like to be told what to do, well, I need to be really, really careful about not telling my husband what to do. And so, you know, it's I try to, you know, I try to be willing to be vulnerable, to be approachable, receptive. When my husband wants to say something to me, I've learned don't keep cutting up the vegetables or talking on the phone. You know, it's like stop and give him my attention. Just look at him and give him my attention. And I just realized, you know, I need to be what I want in a relationship. I need to be, and it's pretty much that simple. And if I can't be the perfect person, which I'm not, I just need to make sure I do no harm. And if I can keep all of those things in mind, it works really well. And thank you, Mo.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, before we get to Eileen M., just reminding everybody we're on page 69, the third paragraph. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, comments on that one paragraph only, and Eileen M., we'll put you in there, and then I'll take names for the next round.
Good morning, Mo. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And when I, my sponsor had me do my sex inventory, one of the most revealing questions to me, for me, was the question of what should I have done instead? And that really helped me to shape my ideal, because my ideal was how I was going to show up in future relationships. And, you know, my past relationships, you know, during those times, I reacted the way I always had because I didn't know there was another way or a better way to react. And, you know, I'm so grateful because of my recovery, my current relationship is the healthiest I've ever had. I'm newly married, and, you know, because of recovery, I've learned to speak my truth in this relationship. And, you know, however, timing is everything, because when I am restless, irritable, and discontent, you know, I need to immediately go to God and to do a 10th step and then to talk with someone about what is my part. Because it's not just about saying whatever comes into my head to my husband. You know, it's about going to God and just asking for the words. You know, we were talking about making amends. We don't want to do more harm to others. So I have found that, you know, going to my higher power and just saying, hey, can you show me the words to say? And if I don't do that, then whatever's coming out of my mouth is my will. It's not God's will. And so thank you so much for letting me share in the past.
And thank you, Eileen M. And I will now open the lines up for more who'd like to share.
Deborah R.
Deborah R.
Kelly.
Who was that?
Reggie Kelly S. Kelly.
Debbie F.
Kelly.
Reggie O.
Kelly S. Who was after Kelly S?
Reggie O.
Debbie S.
Reggie. I got Reggie.
Laura R.
Laura R.
Rachel P.
Debbie S.
Who was that P?
Rachel P.
Rachel. That's it. One more.
Debbie S.
Debbie S. Okay. That's all I'll take. Reggie O. Kathleen S. Okay. Deborah R. Kelly S., Reggie O., Laura R., Rachel P., and Debbie S. We'll start with Deborah R., followed by Kelly S. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Mo, and it was great to see you. I had dinner with you Saturday night and from Michigan. And thank you, Team Thursday, and everybody on all the other teams, because this is a we program, and for me, this step, or this passage, I should say, and on the sex inventory, I mean no disrespect to Bill and his use of the word of sex inventory, but I have found and broadened it to relationships. And sometimes when people say, well, I haven't had any sexual or, you know, anything much to talk in that category, I think of it as, and they were talking about the word gender yesterday and all, you know, my femaleness, my role as a woman in society and in my family, you know, the relationships between people, and ask God to redirect and mold my ideal, you know, how I interact with my mom and dad as a teenager is a whole lot different now that they're in their 90s. Her mom's almost 90. And I really give God the credit, my higher power, for allowing me to stay open and honest and willing to do the next right thing and be of service to my folks. It was very clear when my mom had a stroke about 4 years ago that, you know, I needed to be there and be her advocate and support my dad. And I find that working with others and staying tight to this close to this program, as well as living in 10, 11, and 12 and addressing relationships and sex, been married for almost 29 years. And I know that being honest, I was a bit perturbed by something my husband did yesterday, and I put it on my 11-step review, talked with my sponsor, and I need to have a conversation with my husband to set that right and apologize for my 2-year-old reaction and at the same time ask honestly for him to help fix something that got broke. With that, I pass, and thank you very much for letting me share. God bless.
Thank you, Deborah. Nice to have a face and a name. Kelly S., followed by Reggie O. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, family.
E-Y.
Kelly S. E-Y, you got it. Kelly S., E-Y, in Oklahoma, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic, and grateful to be on the line and listening to this stuff. And I get so much from everybody's shares, but Kathleen, oh, boy, you spoke to me today. And it's kind of what I wanted to share on. You know, it talks about there that we must be willing to grow. And grow is an action verb. It doesn't sound like it. It's kind of like sleep and pray and meditate. Those are all action verbs, but they don't get me the results I want fast, right? So, you know, I made my sex ideal. And if I don't take action, if I don't grow towards that and take the action, then I'm not going to become that person that I feel like my higher power wants me to be. I mean, it's kind of like having an ideal body weight and an idea there. If I don't change my eating and I don't start exercising, then obviously I'm not going to get there. So what does that mean for me? Because, you know, unfortunately, my past was quite sordid, and I was had a life of promiscuity and infidelity. And so today, by the grace of God, I don't live like that anymore. But, you know, it started with me, first of all, you know, not flirting with people because I don't have healthy boundaries. I don't know how to do that. And, so, you know, that was a big thing for me. It's kind of like staying away from food places that I know might trigger me at first. Today I have neutrality in all those areas, thank you, God. But, you know, the whole thing with the sex ideal, relationship ideals, you know, it's acting that way. You hear people say if you want to have self-esteem, do esteemable acts. Same thing, you know, what kind of mother do I want to be? What kind of wife do I want to be? What kind of friend do I want to be? But I need to act that way. You know, it's like you know, as previously shared that, you know, if I don't want to be controlled, then don't be controlling. If I want to be treated with love and respect, I need to treat others with love and respect. If I want to be trusted in my relationship and be honored, then I need to do the same thing in my relationships. And, you know, it's like, yes, my higher power, you know, so, yeah, that sounds all easy and great, right? I mean, it's like, oh, put the food down, be abstinent. Okay, right. Well, you know, I take the actions. I start weighing and measuring my food. I buy the right foods. I go to the gym. I do that. Same thing with this. I make a plan. I make my ideal. And then I start taking action. Then I have to ask God to help me because I can't do this stuff alone. You know, and I've shared this before. You know, it's like I waited for God to zap me. I wanted God to make me abstinent, God to make me free. I want God to make me all these wonderful things. Well, God is not going to do this to me. He's going to do it with me and through me. He's going to give me the ability to walk through this stuff. And sometimes it's 2 steps forward and 1 step back. But I'm slowly, slowly becoming that person that I feel like was always intended to be, that was just blocked. Blocked by not just food, but as we were, you know, someone shared, it's like, what the heck? I came in here to stop eating to lose weight. And it's really about doing life and being a better person. Oh, okay. Well, if I don't get unblocked and get busy doing this, I'm going to go back to that food or whatever else I needed to do to cope. So grateful today I'm willing to grow, willing to take action, willing to trust God. It's not always easy. I'm not perfect. I can promise you guys that. Just call and find out. But grateful to be on the line. Thanks, Mo, for your service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kelly E-Y-S, for your share. And now we'll have Reggie O.
Hey,
morning,
good morning,
Reggie.
Mo. Good morning. Thanks for your service this morning. Great to hear your voice and everybody on the line. My name is Reggie O. And I am grateful to recovered here in the Los Angeles area. I am just, you know, I am so grateful for this time through the steps in this particular arena where we're looking, you know, at sex. And yeah, as the person who spoke before, it is beyond that. It can be applied to all relationships. But I feel as if like the God light has been turned on to this, you know, to this topic in this conversation as we're going through the big book this time. It's been pretty amazing for me. You know, the instructions here in looking at the past few paragraphs have been so amazing. You know, it's like, okay, who did I hurt? What did I do? Where was I at fault? Where was I selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate? Pretty much like the rest of the inventory. And then what should I have done differently? What would I do differently next time? Getting into opening up to the ideals. What then? What is ideal for me? This has not been ideal the way that I've done this in the past. So, what is the ideal that's really in my heart? The ideal that my God, you know, would have me open up to. So, I ask myself that, what should I have done differently? And then I pray to God to mold my ideals and to help me live within them. And whatever that turns out to be, again, you know, as people have said, I must be willing to grow toward it. It's not a one-time thing, you know. It's like I don't write this ideal and say, okay, now that's done and move forward. I need to take the actions, have it be in my consciousness, my heart, I guess, every day, how to do this. And then I'm willing to make amends where I've done harm if I don't bring more harm. I ask God what I should do in each specific matter. And this reminded me this morning when we heard it. This has been really coming to me lately. The right answer will come if we want it, if I want it. So, yeah, there is a prayer here. Ask God what I should do. And then a promise. The right answer will come if I want it. And one of the things I've been focusing on is sincerity in prayer. You know, if I pray sincerely, you know, because sometimes I can, and sometimes I get the sincerity by just going through the actions, but the sincerity makes a really, I think it makes a big difference in having the answers come through or being, you know, willing to hear them. Sometimes I don't always hear God. I was just talking to a sponsee yesterday, and I was saying I used to pray and really hoping I would hear God, but since I didn't trust that I would pray that I would wake up and the answer would be written on my bedroom wall, right? It never was, but in the fear inventory, it says we just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us do and humbly rely on Him. So if I don't get a clear, okay, you know, God is saying message that I can do this, I actually have some idea in my own self what God would have me do. And I do that, you know, I do that. What is my sex ideal? Again, I must be willing to grow toward it. And perhaps, you know, with a daily prayer, okay, you know, this is my ideal. What can I do today that will help me grow further into that ideal? And last, I'll stop. Okay, so thanks so much.
Sorry to interrupt. All right, thank you, Reggie O. Laura R., followed by Rachel P. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Oh, wow, this has been an amazing meeting. This is Laura, compulsive overeater out in Colorado. And I sit here just a grateful woman. Whatever our ideals turn out to be, well, I sure have had ideals of how I've wanted to show up for 16 years being in recovery rooms, you know, desperately, not humbly, but desperately grabbing onto God, please change me, you know. And guess what? Like, I changed over the last 16 years and even the last 9 years of my marriage with my husband and our family. Wow, we have changed a lot. But I've been in so much pain. I mean, it makes me so sad. I've been in so much pain, you know, and I have desperately been a studier of this big book. And I have taken women through the steps. And I have been, you know, and I grew. And it's awesome. And I'm not saying anything about that. But the bottom line is today I sit a free woman. You know, free woman from addiction for the first time in my life. I'm 43 years old, and I sit here free. And, you know, thank God for the, you know, the mantra, don't, you know, keep coming back. You know, wait for the miracle. I've had so many miracles in recovery over the years, even in the 2 years in OA. But it has taken me so long to let go of everything because I was scared to death. And what I found is once I finally let everything go, it was a boogeyman. Like, it was a boogeyman because God, you know, what does it say? What once used to be a flimsy reed has proven to be the loving hand of God. And I just never trusted Him. Why? Because I was leaning into other things for protection and care. But, my God, if there's anything you're holding on to, anything that you're just thinking, I think this might be a problem, let it go. Talk to your sponsor. Because here's the thing, whatever our ideals turn out to be, I have been desperately wanting to be a better wife and a better mother. Like, desperate. That's all I've ever wanted. Like, I don't want to hurt the people I love. Like, my heart is big. But unfortunately, my fear will come in and my claws come out and I will hurt you. Thank God for my husband being in recovery, too. Thank God my son's still young, you know. But now I sit with my Creator on this step. You know, I'm on 10, 11, and 12. And what's so funny is I got a resentment on listening to the meeting for a second, nothing to do with the people in the meeting. I had to hang up. I called someone, did a 10, came back on, and it was gone, you know, and I am free. And so now I sit with my Creator with my sex ideal. Do you think I can go to my family and make amends? No, I've made 100 amends. They need to see change. you know, and on it, frankly, so do I. And I get to rest now and pray to my Creator and say, God, what do you want me to show up? How do you want me to show up? Because honestly, the way I think I need to show up is perfect. I can't get there. And I got that now. Like, okay, God, you change me. You give me intuitive thought. I'm pausing. I'm praying. I'm meditating. I'm taking action. But I'm also knowing that I am absolutely powerless. And I cannot change without God's help. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Rachel P., followed by Debbie S. Good morning, Ray. If you each take 2 minutes, we can get you through, okay?
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive eater in Denver, Colorado. And I really appreciate that these paragraphs don't try to tell people how to conduct themselves as it relates to sexual conduct, but, you know, whether you are asexual or want to be in a healthy, committed relationship and monogamous, or if you'd rather have multiple partners and have as much sex as you want, great. There's no judgment here. What was key for me, and when I did my fourth step, I was able to understand that I had acted in a way that was not congruent with my true self, with a relationship with a higher power and with integrity. I didn't have my first kiss until I was 20 years old. I was a late bloomer because I was overweight. And it wasn't just that I was overweight, but I hated myself. And that was such a source of shame and guilt for me that I couldn't seem to form relationships with people, that nobody was attracted to me. At least that's what I told myself. And so I closed in and I pushed everyone away. And then in my early mid-20s, I started to lose weight and started to get noticed, and I had a bit more confidence. And you know, suddenly men were interested in me, and I didn't act in a way that was congruent with who I am. You know, I wasn't safe. I slept with people before getting any kind of commitment, which is what I wanted personally. But I did it anyway, because for me, I equated, you know, like others have talked about, I equated sex with love. And I had to learn through these steps that I had behaved in a way that didn't serve me and that didn't serve my higher power. And you know, now that I'm in recovery, I'm finally able to be in a healthy relationship. And that's what I want. And I'm so grateful that I can conduct myself in a way that's true to who I am now and true to my higher power. So thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. And our last share for today will be Debbie S. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Debbie S. I'm grateful to be on the line with Mishpoka. That's the word that I learned from Harlan at conference. It means family. It's good to be with family, and it was great to be at conference with family. I had a lot of brokenness around my sexuality. As a child, I had brokenness as a victim, and then as a volunteer, as I entered adulthood. And my brokenness around my sexuality impacted me and imprinted me in a way that nothing else really has. I can remember when I had an ideal, and it talks in this paragraph, it says, the right answer will come if we want it. I can remember a time when I had the right ideal, but I didn't want that ideal. But I did eventually grow into my ideal, and it was a miraculous transformation for me. I had the joy after that of being in a marital covenant relationship with my husband for 32 years until he passed. And then I went into the dating world at 60. That was quite a challenge to my ideals, but by some miracle of God's grace, I was remarried 2 years ago. I have really had to think about how I wanted to show up as a woman, not just romantically, but how I wanted to show up as a woman in other relationships. And I see I'm at my 2 minutes, so thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much for taking us out, Debbie S. And we want to thank Team Thursday for their service. Laura R., Miriam Rifka H., Dion R., Robin P., Eileen M. Our newcomer greeter is Mary H., and announcements will be Janice P.M. So if you're a newcomer, please stay on the line after we finish the Serenity Prayer. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Robin P. to read a vision for you.
Thanks, Mo. This is Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.